Good evening and welcome to Fade to Black Cinema. I'm Michael, your bougie black brother, and I'm here with my co-host, Arufo.
Hello.
And we just came back from seeing Ant-Man and the Wasp, another Marvel movie, of course. One of them I was looking forward to because I really enjoyed the Ant-Man movie, and it was hilarious, fun, and worthwhile seeing what would they do next. And what was your thoughts coming into it prior to seeing it? Were you looking forward to it, Alicia?
Yeah, I was looking forward to it. I thought it would be just as good as the first one.
Yep, I kind of thought so. Wasn't sure, though, being honest. Wasn't sure if it really was going to be, but I was pleased to sit down and really didn't look at the details. I saw flashes of the kind of the trailers and all, but didn't really want to know what the details were. So it was good to walk in and not have the details and say, oh, okay, that's what this was about. So that kind of helped me out as well. But like we normally do, here's the synopsis. As Scott Lang balances being both a superhero and a father, Hope Van Dyne and Dr. Hank Pym present an urgent new mission that finds the Ant-Man fighting alongside the Wasp to uncover secrets from their past. Doesn't really say it, really what this was about. So, and that was a good thing because kind of that's what I thought coming into this. So, real quick too, being a Marvel fan, this portion of these Marvel characters I really wasn't familiar with. I was more familiar with the Hank Pym character than the Scott Lang, because the Hank Pym was actually part of the original Avengers. So, and with the Wasp as well, those were the two founding members of the Avengers. So the Hank Pym, I mean, the Scott Lang was a little later down the line that I really didn't get into. When Hank Pym turned into Yellow Jacket and Scott Lang was Ant-Man, and then you had Giant Man and different people from that. So you had different kind of characters, and I kind of lost interest in them. So this kind of faded away. And this is why I thought these characters was interesting, because they put a little humor to these characters, whereby a lot of the Marvel Universe doesn't really have too much humor to it. Because the only other one that we found to have humor was the Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
That and Deadpool?
Oh, Deadpool. Oh, I forgot all about that. Deadpool comic books is all about humor, though.
Right, okay.
But Guardians of the Galaxy, that really, if you read the comic books, it's really not big-time humor in there. Mm-hmm. But Deadpool in the comics were almost made to be ironic in a lot of things.
When the comic books and I think about the comedy of it all, Deadpool comes the first thing in my head.
Yeah, it does. But that's really, again, Deadpool came really later in the Marvel Universe. So being an old comic book fan, there really wasn't no comedic aspect to a lot of stuff other than, you know, portions of Spider-Man. Because mm-hmm. him being young, he was kind of humorous because he was young and running into things.
Okay.
So that really wasn't a huge humor-based type thing. And then when you start with a lot of the comic book characters starting to be like TV series and major motion pictures, there really wasn't a lot of comedy in that either. So that made it a little interesting when they took a turn and said, we're going to have Ant-Man and it's going to be a little more, you know, kind of funny. So Peyton Reed was the director. He done not really anything major that stands out to be like, ha, ha, ha. He did the first Ant-Man, and then he did this one. He did Bring It On, and then he had a movie called Yes Man, which was, it was okay. I didn't really finish actually looking at it. But here's the catch. The writers, Chris McKenna and another guy. He wrote Community. So, you know, if you actually followed Community, you know that was hilarious with the amount of characters.
And Paul Rudd also written this. Some of
so he was just only with this, though. Okay. So he's not a long-term writer.
Okay, okay.
So he kind of wrote, you know, based on his character, I believe.
Okay.
So there's a lot of actors who kind of improvises. So I think he just wanted to get credit with changing the character the way he wanted to, which was, it was still fine. So Chris McKenna also did the Lego Batman movie, and he wrote Spider-Man Homecoming and the new Jumanji. We may wind up seeing that because a lot of people said that was so hilarious and funny, but I was kind of like, whatever.
I got to see it though.
Did you?
Yeah, with the kids.
Oh, good for you. So Eric Summers is another guy that helped with the writing, and he kind of matched up doing the same movies that the other writer, actually Chris McKenna, did. So comedic writers and a out-of-the-ordinary type of director, but again, it became a great series because Marvel does a good thing. Me and Alicia was talking about this before. Marvel does a great job with saying, here's a director that does good at this. Here's a director that does good at this. Here's a director that does good at that. Where the DC universe is like one guy kind of does it all or has something to do with all of them, which makes it look the same and really kind of ruins everything. The only exception that kind of stood out was Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman had, what, a female director?
Yes, she
as
did.
As well as, yeah. I think, writer. Right. So that showed a whole different look. And it was a great movie how it was made. But back to Ant-Man and Wasp. So walked in, had the expectation of at least this will be funny. But just like the other Ant-Man, it didn't combine too much of the regular Marvel universe. Because even with this, you didn't see anything dealing with any of the other Marvel characters.
They mentioned?
No. So that's the good thing. They did mention.
They mentioned the fight with him getting big.
So they mentioned Civil War when Captain America had him go to Germany and he got big and was fighting the other Avengers. So that was one of the reasons why he was under house arrest. So that was the one thing that they kind of went over with that. But again, these two was kind of like standalones. So the good thing when we saw him appear on Civil War, it was great to see him not just a standalone, but he is part of the universe. And then he showed up and I was like, cool, they had Ant-Man in there. So the expectation when Infinity Wars came in, everyone thought, well, since he was in Civil War, he would be in Infinity War.
Right, right.
But I think the directors was like, look, we need to break this up a little more because that's a hell of a lot of characters.
Right.
So they would have had to bring in the Wasp as well as Ant-Man.
But it kind of explained why he wasn't there, because he was under house arrest.
So again, he was being very careful because he didn't want to jeopardize not being with his daughter. And, you know, as they mentioned in Infinity Wars, they asked about, you know, Scott Lang and what's his name, who played Hawkeye. Because Hawkeye was part of, you know, he wanted to stay with his family, so he didn't want to jeopardize his family. But, like, I think we talked about it, too. There was a portion at the guy who played Hawkeye, he actually got injured, and I think part of that injury kind of delayed him in being in Infinity Wars. But anywho, this is all beyond the Ant-Man Wasp movie. So
now there was something that I'm going a little bit out, but when Dr. Bill Foster, Lawrence Fishburne, he says something, he's like, ooh,
Giant Man, Goliath.
Right.
So in the comic books, is a black guy. And there's a black guy that actually turned big, and he was called Goliath or Giant Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh shit. But I didn't remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, are they trying to bring in these characters? But if they had this Goliath thing, then are they trying to bring that back? Because Goliath was a black guy. He wasn't much of, you know, he wasn't that big of a deal. But he was part of the Avengers as well.
Well, it was nice how they did it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because when they mentioned it and you say, ooh, and I was like, oh, he must be somebody known in the damn Marvel world.
So here it is. I looked it up. So, you know, a lot of times, and this is why Marvel is so good at what they do. Even though they may not bring in characters, they'll mention things that comic book readers know. So I knew this name sound familiar, but then when he said Goliath, I was like, I know this. This got to be that. So here's the detail. Dr. Bill Forster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also known as Black Goliath, the second Giant Man and the fourth Goliath, a fictional character, a superhero appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comic Books. So, yeah, that was that. But see, if they actually bring a black guy into here, which Marvel is starting to say, I make money when I put in some black goddamn superheroes. So maybe it's worth it. But Bill Forster is one of the Black Goliaths. So, and it clearly says there's four different ones of them. So if he separates himself and works with the girl Ghost and he starts doing his own things, he may have another character to become Black Goliath.
Mm.
Which, you know, this is which is really interesting.
And then about Ghost.
So I've seen something similar to that character, but I never actually can say, yeah, I know who that is. So I'm not sure if that is a made-up character, which Marvel Universe hardly ever makes up a character. They hardly ever make up a character. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who knows? But that was interesting. I'm glad you caught that, because I was kind of like, whoa, my God, Goliath. And then, but I knew Goliath was the black guy as opposed to the other Giant Man. And again, people who don't know the comic understand that. So usually after I do our review, I go back and see what others were talking about. And then they'll bring up a little more detail. But Bill Forster was one of the scientists that was working with Hank Pym, too. So mm-hmm. he was a scientist. And they were working on, you know, miniaturizing and but having the same strength and everything.
Okay.
So, no, good call out, though. So, opening up, again, the Ant-Man series is all about this guy who loves his family. And he's a criminal, ex-con rather, not a criminal, ex-con. And dealing with his ex-con friends and try to make a standard life. But he had a taste of being a superhero because Cap, he called him Cap, Captain America called on him for help. So now he knows he's a superhero and he wants his daughter to look up to him. So, but he still wants to be a family man in that sense, which was I like that part of the story too, when they make it that way. So what did you think? Opening into this and starting to, what did it interest you, first of all?
Yes, it did. It did. I didn't fall asleep on this one, babe.
Well, you don't normally fall asleep on the actual Marvel comics, I mean, book stuff, but go ahead.
But it was, I did like it. I really did like it. It wasn't as funny as the first one.
Really?
To me, it wasn't. The thing that was a little bit funny was like his daughter. She's always adorable.
Yeah, well, she's adorable. That's that cute funny.
Yeah. You know? And then I like the fact that his ex-wife and her husband.
Yeah, I know. They starting to love him now. Yeah,
they love him. The three criminals, of course, his side buddies.
Mm.
I love them.
But so did you think because they didn't highlight them more that it wasn't funnier? Because remember in the first Ant-Man,
they
highlighted them almost throughout the thing.
Yes, they were hilarious. This time it was when you seen them, it became funny. Say they wasn't with him as much as they should. You know what I'm saying? They were trying to build that relationship kind of thing with him and Wasp. Was it Wasp?
Wasp, yeah.
So that to me. And then, it was good. I liked it. It was good all through it.
So let me back into what you were saying. So I think they created the first one to be unique. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was a lot more funnier. There's a lot more character driven. But this one kind of had to start being part of the Marvel universe.
I got you.
So that's a good way of you saying that, because it was more character wise. And I'm not sure, being honest with you, I'm not sure if they really invested too much in the first Ant-Man to think that it was going to be a hit. I think they was like, here's another character in the universe. Let's see what we can do with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there's so many characters other than Ant-Man that it could have done.
What I think is going to happen, or what I think I see from what they're doing now, they're bringing in Goliath,
mm-hmm.
and then Ghost.
So Ghost is a character.
Okay.
In the comic
another
book.
Thing is that...
And it was, real quick, the Ghost is a villain with Iron Man, though.
Oh.
So, which is really cool. Ghost is a fictional character appearing in American comic books published by Marvel. Originally an enemy of Iron Man, and appeared as a member of the Thunderbolts during the Dark Reign and Heroic Age storylines. So it's a character.
So why did they bring her into Ant-Man?
So see, this is what makes this universe so interesting, because everything is interchangeable. It doesn't matter where they show up. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I got you. So it's just, so the comic books is a comic book focusing on different characters separately with their own storyline.
But they interchange sometimes. So like Spider-Man will show up in Iron Man.
Right,
but
I got you.
Iron Man is helping Spider-Man with one of their villains.
Okay.
But it's not a villain because like crazy Batman has the Joker, and the Joker is only Batman's, villain.
Mm-hmm.
People may deal with Joker every now and then, but it's really Batman's villain. Whereby in the Marvel Universe, Thanos is everybody's villain. It's not one character's villain. Everybody knows him, and everybody has to deal with him because the dude is so powerful and dangerous.
Right.
So the Marvel Universe, you can interchange villains anywhere. This is why, geeks like me and other geeks really wants Fantastic Four to be part of this universe.
Right.
Because Doctor Doom is one of the other most powerful villains in the Marvel Universe. And Doctor Doom fought with the Avengers. So not just the Fantastic Four, but with the Avengers. So these villains are interchangeable. And this is what makes this a lot more interesting. That's why I said I've seen this character, but I really don't know where I've seen him, because the name didn't come out in any other way. But you said you enjoyed it, and, it was just a level of engagement. I don't want to say engagement. A level of humor-wise was a lot less. And I think it's because... they trying to say, let's kind of stick to the Marvel Universe thing, because I think we got too far away from it in the first one. And now that he appeared in Civil War, he has to be part of the universe.
Right.
And so this was a good opportunity to bring in relevant content. And this is important. The content of other Marvel characters and scenarios. So they had to bring in, because they did the FBI, then they brought in S.H.I.E.L.D., remember? Oh, yeah, that was my partner. He used to work for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is in the universe. When it comes to you know, high level stuff that they investigate, SHIELD is usually part of that. But they said but when SHIELD was disbanded, which you saw that in Captain America and the rest of them, that it was disbanded. So all of the storyline was still done together. The fact that he mentioned the Goliath Project says they're going to bring it up again.
Yeah, they are.
They are going
to
do it.
Because that to me was like, why would you bring it up if you... And then you got Lawrence Fishburne as the playing that role. So this is really interesting because now you got Fishburne. You got, what's his name? The other one that...
Michael Douglas.
No, the other black superhero who's from S.H.I.E.L.D. Lawrence Fishburne. Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you got those two big ones. Then you have who else? Another famous black, the one who did who's Black Panther. Mm-hmm. So you got these major, you know, black people playing big roles.
So the good thing is, again, in Marvel, there's a lot of black characters. But they were minor characters. The only major character was Black Panther. And then it was Luke Cage. Then Nick Fury, the original Nick Fury, was a white guy. Later on, they changed it to a black guy. Mm-hmm. And when they changed it to a black guy, then it was a totally different way they did that. There's other black characters that's in there. They're really minor type characters, but they're in the Marvel Universe. And again, if Marvel's smart, they saw how much money Black Panther made and said, how can we bring in more black characters? So now we'll gain billions more by starring black characters. Mm-hmm. So this is an introduction to see that maybe I think this is phase 4, that they're going to start bringing in other characters. So phase 4 may show Goliath because the Thors, the Iron Mans, the Hulks, all of those is going to be pushed back. And then you're going to start seeing other major characters.
So you think that'll be a movie more so than a TV?
So I don't think it'll be TV because think about it. They never really brought up any of the Netflix TV people.
Okay, you're right. They didn't.
They haven't.
They haven't done that.
But it's been talks of how do they do it.
Right.
And here's where the problem is. And I don't think I told you though. So I've been trying to find out how would they incorporate them because the Spider-Man always dealt with Daredevil. Always.
Right.
Luke Cage dealt with a lot of the Avengers like the Iron Man and, you know, a bunch of the other people from that. So the problem is they film so much, so differently. So the regular TV series has about 8 to 12 episodes. So it takes a longer filming time. And then while they're filming that, the movie's going on. So unless they're appearing in cameo roles, they really can't star in the movie.
Okay.
Because it just doesn't match up well with the scheduling. But they're trying to say, how do we do that? Which is, to me, if Disney...
If Disney
makes the decision.
Yeah, because Disney has to buy Fox, you said?
Yeah, so it's practically broad. But if they have Fox, they still own portions of the Netflix characters and everything. So as they bring them in, they could say we won't have a season of, you know, Daredevil or a season of Iron Fist or whatever. We're going to move them because we want to make this film next year. Mm-hmm. So they can skip a whole year.
Right.
And have one or two of the characters show up, which makes it really, really interesting in that way.
So right now it's just waiting to see how everything is going to turn out.
Yeah, because really what Disney really wants is the X-Men. They want Fantastic Four. They want, I think it's Submariner. They want, and Wolverine. Because Wolverine is one of the top characters, not only in the comic books, but
on movies too.
Yeah, in movies.
Yeah.
Wolverine is a major character that transcends everybody. Yeah. But if you read the comic books, he's in the Avengers. He deals with the Fantastic Four. He deals with everybody.
I just didn't like how they did him this and this. I guess because the actor didn't want to do it no more.
He planned not doing it.
Okay.
So
because I always like to see him in everywhere he goes. He's like one of the best characters, like you said.
But he's crazy. So he's a psychopath.
Yeah.
But he's a psychopath that cares at times. But he's just savage. And it doesn't really matter. So, but he does so much stuff in the Marvel Universe that you can interchange him any and everywhere.
So that's why Ant-Man was able to go into, that's why they put him into different areas. But now that he's out, there's going to be just more characters coming into his movies as well.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, like I said, they mentioned Ghost. She came into there.
Yeah, she was in,
what I'm thinking is like, okay, they're going to be a team in Ant-Man besides...
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. So, again, that's another great thing Marvel does. A great thing that Marvel does is they bring in characters in different movies in order for them to be together in maybe the next movie. You know what I mean?
Okay.
See, be like Captain America, he was a standalone. And then he was on the Avengers. And then when they did it again, the Avengers was part of Captain America.
Well, see, the reason why I say that, because Captain America got his group of people that he...
But it just turned out to be that way, though.
Okay.
So what in the comic books, you got West Coast Avengers and whatchacallit Avengers. So they had West Coast Avengers. And there was people who's leading them, and then the regular Avengers as well. Because of the separation of the laws with the Civil War, there were people who was vigilantes... And then you had the government-regulated superheroes. So that's what you're seeing right now. So that's why Hank Pym and all of them are outcasts, or not outcasts, outlaws. They're working illegally because all the other superheroes are legal.
Okay.
So this is where I was hoping to see the same thing on the Netflix series of if they signed their accords, it's their accords, whatever accords it was. But did those characters, because they're superheroes, signed off on their accords? They never mentioned that in the Netflix series. But every movie, they mentioned the accords.
Right.
So every new character knows about the accords that kind of happened and everything. But... See, we talk about everything but the goddamn movie. Anyway, so, what did you think of? Yeah, what did you think though? I mean, you kind of mentioned.
No, because I really liked the movie. I thought it just wasn't funny, but it was action filled. It wasn't, you know, it was like, okay, I'm having a problem with my suit, or
when he was small, like a little kid and everything.
And then he got real big and he said, well, you know, after I got big, I slept for 3 days.
Yeah. And then he was like, how big did you really get? Well, I was about, you know, I'm 64. 64? Wow, I was only 30. And he's like, would y'all stop comparing sizes around here? So I thought the lines were clever. I thought it was still funny. But I understood that it needed to be not funny like a Deadpool is. Mm-hmm. Deadpool, he's just saying things to be funny.
I know he was.
The purpose of it is to be funny.
Yeah. Well, another thing I like about Ant-Man was the fact that when he went back, when he went into that area where
subatomic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he came back. He figured out how to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's when they figure out that his wife was still alive.
Could be still alive.
Okay, could be
so
still
that
alive.
So the basis of the true movie was trying to get back into the some atomic world or the quantum. And you know, the running jokes around throughout the movie was is everything has to start with quantum in order to make it sound intelligent, because everything was like, oh, but the quantum physics of the fundamental. Yeah, but if you look at the quantum, and they kept doing it, and he was like, yeah, that's what I thought. And then he just got tired of it. He'd be like, damn, do y'all always have to add quantum to everything y'all say?
So,
but the premise was, since he went and went back, there was a possibility that his wife could be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were, again, they were outcasts because they helped Captain America, who was an outlaw and actually working outside of the law. They were part of that. So it's, since they part of that, Hank Pym and his daughter, they were all outlaws. So, which made it interesting too.
Right.
But all throughout the movie, which I love too, they miniaturized everything now.
Yes.
So they made it, they made things to miniaturize.
With a remote control. Yeah. That shit was awesome. I was like, damn.
So he had a Hot Wheels. I had one of those.
Yeah, the little
Hot Wheel box that looked like a wheel, and it had different little cars in it.
Exactly. And so they said, okay, open up the box.
And he said, choose one, every one that you want. And it was like so freaking awesome, you know. So so they chose everything. But once you inside of the car, you can miniaturize or make it big. So you didn't have to throw one of those discs like they used to do.
Right, right.
So in this episode or this movie,
it got to an advanced level of the
exactly of from the previous one.
Yeah, and from enlarging it to shrinking it down to a smaller size.
And then they did it all throughout. And you didn't get tired of it because you understood, because they introduced it easily in the first one. Mm-hmm. So it just went through.
Yeah, it was cool. They had a big building, and then they had a remote control to make it smaller. Yeah. Everything was in the building. Everything was in the building.
It's just everything was miniaturized.
Right. He's like,
so if you end up, so here's the other thing that I thought was cool too. It's not just the outside was miniaturized. If things were inside of it, it miniaturized it as well. So if you was in it, it miniaturized your ass. And I was kind of like, whoa, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So the building, no matter what it took to run it, was miniaturized. And I was like, wow, that's pretty damn cool. You know what I mean?
That was nice. I like how they did that. Like I said.
So I have to ask you, though. So what did you think of, you know, they was going to get his wife. What did you think of Michelle Pfeiffer's role in that?
I didn't even know it was her.
You didn't?
Until I said, hey, that's Michelle Pfeiffer. The way they did her was really nice. Okay. She was very, very, you know, simple. She wasn't, I mean, she was just like the...
She was a scientist.
Yeah, scientist, mm-hmm. Exactly. I loved her role.
So it was...
Though it was a very small part that came in, I loved her role. And now
that's what everybody was saying.
Yeah.
So you just liked how they injected her in, oh, even though it was small.
It was really nice. Very, very nice.
This is what I didn't like about it. Again, I'm a comic book fan. Hank Pym and her, both of them, were the original Avenger people. But they're too old now to be part of the Avengers. You have to allow the new people to be part of the Avengers.
Well, see, but the way they did it was that they're old scientists.
Right.
Okay? That doesn't mean that they're going to be that they're just older scientists with their older way of thinking.
No, no, no. I don't mean that. I mean the old Hank Pym and his wife, they were scientists that was working with Tony Stark's. They were working with Reed Richards from the Fantastic Four. They was working with Black Panther. They were working with all of them because most of the Marvel Universe was based on a lot of scientists.
So you don't like them because they were old?
No, I didn't say I didn't like them. I didn't like how they did it because you can't add them into what's going on now.
Okay.
Because they're too old to be part of the Marvel Universe other than almost like consultants because they're scientists. So they'll help now.
Okay.
They won't be active characters. Okay. They'll be helping. So
that's what I thought they would be. They would be scientists helping.
But they was never... None of these people... were scientists helper. They were actual
superheroes.
Action superheroes.
Okay, so they not superheroes no more because...
I know, that's what I that's what I'm familiar with, though.
Oh, okay. All right. I got
Again,
you.
Again, it's kind of like, you know...
Because I would think that the... What's his name?
Hank.
Hank.
Not Hank. What's his name?
Scott Lang. Scott and Hope would be replacements.
They are. They are. But again, if you ever watch the show... And then the show comes back, and then you have the old characters show up, but the new show has new people. You're looking at the old characters kind of like, eh.
What can they do?
I used to love them better than these people right there.
I got you.
So it's a comic. To me, it's a comic book thing. It's not a, you know, because their name means a lot more than what they're showing in the actual movie.
Okay,
I can get over that. That's not a big deal. But I liked it because she's brilliant as well. In the comic book, she's just as brilliant as her husband. I mean, as Hank Pym.
Yeah, well,
and it showed that here because she immediately got on when she jumped into Scott Lang.
Yeah, remember? That's what I'm getting ready to say.
She said, "Oh, you got to change this algorithm," but they didn't get it. But she knew it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God, I'm good. They showing how smart she really is. And that's what I enjoy about when they bring in characters that is good in the comic books and they showing just how good they are in reality. They didn't do it because we need to make females more smarter. No, they was actually just as smart in the comic books.
In the comic books, yeah. So I'm really excited. Like I said, I like the fact that the three guys, Luis and T.I. and the other guy was in there. They're still so stupid funny. And I'm glad they did that part where they gave him the truth serum.
They had to do that.
It's like, it's truth serum. No, it's not truth serum.
No, it's not truth serum.
It's truth serum.
So what happens? Well, it helps you to suggest what's the truth. So it's truth serum. And it goes, but that whole sequence with them, they had to do it again because that was the highlight in the first movie. So they had a section where he tells his story and it's his voice, but that you see the characters. And again, it's just fantastic. So really, really good characters. Really good characters in this one. What was his name? My boy from Justified was on there.
Oh, yeah. That is Walton Goggins.
Goggins. Walton Goggins.
He plays Sonny.
Yeah, he plays Sonny. So it was interesting. He played on it, but he had a buyer. Remember he kept saying he has a buyer?
Buyer for that.
So I'm trying to, because they never showed the buyer.
Never mentioned his name, neither.
No, so that's interesting. That's interesting because the reason why that's interesting is there's international people who in the Marvel Universe
became villains,
who was either villains or whatever. So you don't know who he was actually working for, which may come up again.
Okay.
So again, this is what the Marvel Universe does for you. What they do is they foreshadow something and give you hints. And then when it comes up, there you go. An example. I think it was on Captain America and the Shield. They was said the Strange Initiative. So they said what the hell is the Strange Initiative? So what you find out is when they said that, a couple of movies down, Doctor Strange movie came out. So they knew about Doctor Strange. So when they saying things, they said, just hold on, it's gonna come out. So a lot of these little things that they put in there is seeing, and I think they're depending on nerds like us to say, wow, that's what they're going to do. And then the buzz comes out and they say it's worthwhile adding that in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in order for them to make billions of dollars, they have to put the characters that people either demand or will love to see or see it in the buzz in the social media. And they can build on that. They don't have to have their own movie. They can just show up in a portion to see if it's worthwhile. Just like Black Widow. She's been on The Avengers forever. And Civil War. But she haven't had her own movie yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost everybody else in there. And Hawkeye. Neither one of them actually got their own movie. But Hawkeye was... even in the comic book, he wasn't all that. But Black Widow as a spy and working with the Avengers, she's fantastic. But and then the Asian guy was cool too, Jimmy Woo.
Yeah, his name is Randall Park. Yeah, he's funny.
He was a nice addition to him too, you know, as the FBI agent. He shows up in a lot of things that was really cool too. But overall, this was fun. This is another fun Marvel movie.
Yeah, and you know, this is something that we definitely be watching again.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
because there's just portions in there that I enjoyed so much mm-hmm. that I just want to see again.
So what you rate it?
I think I'm gonna rate it an 8.5.
Oh,
because yeah. I really like this one. I enjoyed this so much, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I really enjoyed this,
and I was gonna give it an 8. I'm definitely going to give it an 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. I mean, nothing. So let me give you another hint, because not another hint, but just a statement that, you know, part of the reviews were talking about. So you see they went into the quantum universe, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I saw it, but until they mentioned it, I didn't get it. So Doctor Strange goes into the quantum universe too.
Oh, he does.
So if you watch the Doctor Strange movie, let's just look at the movie.
Right.
Watch when he goes into different areas. You'll see that kind of kaleidoscope type look. When he went and fought with Mephisto, I think it was. You see, that's a quantum area outside of a different dimension. So both of them are dealing with the quantum world.
So now that you mentioned, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, because you'll see, wow, that is part of what they're doing.
Right.
But he gets so small that you can, it becomes dimensional, because on the cellular level, you can see differently. And that's like quantum physics and everything, but I'm not going to get into that. But that was an interesting observation that they did. And I was like, absolutely right. I said, that's absolutely right. And again, this ties into each other. So it shows you once again that the Marvel Universe deals with each other, even in ways that you don't see typically, that it does go together.
Right.
But it does go together.
Right. I mean, and the fact that I love their poster. I love the poster. It's different. The design of it and everything is really cool.
Yeah, with all the characters,
yes.
And then a slash in between, yeah. And everything like that. Yeah.
So
what's the name? So I kept trying to remember, her name is Hope, Evangeline Lilly. Do you remember what you saw her on? Other than the Hobbit movies?
Mm-mm.
So it was interesting. I knew I saw her. You know you've seen her before. And we've seen her so much that it was kind of hard not to know who she is. She was on Lost.
She was on Lost?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Once you place her face in Lost, you'd be like, that's who she is.
Hmm.
Because her expressions all the time when I see her, I was like, where do I see this woman with her emotional expressions? And she's from Canada. She's a Canadian. She was supposed to be a model, but she was like, she signed a contract and then said, hey, I don't want to do it. At least pay off my college. And then she started actually acting. But yeah, she was in Lost. She's one of the main characters. If you go back to Lost and when it first starts, you'll see her on there. And then you'll say, that's who she is. That's exactly who she is. And then you'll see, based on her physical abilities and all of that, you can see her in here. Because I thought she was physically amazing. You know, she does most of her stunts too.
She does.
Mm-hmm. She does most of her stunts.
Mm.
Hope, who plays Wasp. And it looked a lot natural when she was doing it. So that's why I was kind of like, oh, she kicking ass around here. So I thought that was like really, really interesting too. So.
But anyway.
So, yeah. So you got it as a
8.
8. And I have it at an 8.4, which is a great movie. It's a really, and that's one of them high because, you know, it gets points because it's a Marvel movie. That's the first thing. Then it gets points because it's a good movie and it's an exciting movie. So all of that turned out to be a very good, unique movie with a different director. You know, you got these different directors, like we were saying earlier, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think it's James Gunn with that. You got now you got Thor with his new director that made it funny. That made that really, really interesting. And let me see, them. And then you got the Russo brothers that was doing the Captain America series, which then they moved them into doing the new Avengers because they did so well with Captain America with everybody together. They said you might as well do the Avengers one as well.
So what other Marvel movies is coming out this year? Do you know?
So it's only two. Two other ones is coming out, but they have nothing to do with the current Marvel universe.
Okay.
So it's I think it's, I know it's Spawn. I mean, not Spawn, Venom.
Yeah, Venom. I remember Venom.
So Venom, and then it's supposed to be Dark Phoenix. But I think they pushed Dark Phoenix into next year.
Okay.
So you got those two coming out. So far, outside of that, there's nothing else. There's no Netflix one coming. Though they said the Cloak and Dagger that was on Freeform, they said that didn't turn out as good as they wanted it to be.
Yeah, I've seen it out there, and I was like, I wonder if Michael wants to see it, and you didn't mention about it.
I saw the previews, and I didn't like it, but I wanted to wait to see if it came out because, you know, we saw The Runaways. Remember that?
Right.
And that was really good. I really liked that. And I thought it would be similar to that, but... So they got a lot of bad press on this initial one from there. So you never know what's coming out, but so the ending had a great play on Infinity Wars, which I didn't expect it, but if it happened, I would have said that makes sense. So, you know, look at the last minute. You don't have to wait all the way to the end because it was just stupid. All the way to the end wasn't worth it. But the end of the credits, right before the total credits, look at that because it shows that Scott has to save all of them now. So it's a play on Infinity Wars. Because if you didn't see it, then... you would never know what the hell is going on after they show you this too. But you got to see that. So, and we saw them both. So anyway, any last things, Boo?
Nah, babe.
A must see Ant-Man and the Wasp. If we get a chance to see it again, guess what? We'll probably see it again. But since movie passes and give you an opportunity to see them twice, we probably won't. So we'll go from that. Fade to Black Cinema, you'll see those every Wednesday, every podcast available, download. We are on there, even Spotify. We got a couple of followers on Spotify and good downloads there too. So leave comments and likes on iTunes that keep us up there so we can continue to bring you great content, very great content. And on YouTube, if you hang out in YouTube, just go to Bougie Black Brother Network. We're on there too. It may not show you the visuals, but it will have the podcast on there. And then you can see some of the open box tech as well as the wine. So anywho, anything else, Boobie?
You got it.
So thank you very much for stopping by Fade to Black Cinema, and we'll see you next week, Wednesday. Later.